Hello friends, I'm your host Sujay and I welcome you to the 17th episode of the Meet Stargazers podcast. Our guest today is the Visitor Development and Marketing Manager at Northumberland National Park Authority. He's an environmentalist and passionate advocate of sustainable tourism development. He was instrumental in securing International Dark Sky Park status for Northumberland National Park. He's on a mission to make Northumberland National Park a year-round destination. Today, he will be talking to us about stargazing in Northumberland Dark Sky Park. Without further ado, please join me in welcoming Duncan Wise. Duncan, thanks for taking the time to speak to us, and I'm excited to talk to you about stargazing in Northumberland Dark Sky Park.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and look forward to talking about one of my favorite areas.
Duncan, what brought you to dark sky advocacy, and when did you get started?
Well, I suppose we were aware that we had some tremendously dark skies, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago. I've been working for the Northumberland National Park Authority now for 20 years. And my colleagues who work for Kielder Water and Forest Park, which is adjacent to the national park, were already sort of in the process, probably 15 years ago, of building the Kielder Observatory. And this was very much based upon, you know, a few years beforehand, where a number of amateur astronomers had discovered Kielder Forest, realizing that it has tremendously dark skies. And this enthusiasm had culminated into the development of an observatory, which is still standing and now attracting over 20,000 visitors a year. So, you know, we were aware that, you know, we had dark skies, but it wasn't really until we had some research that also illustrated that we're also one of the most tranquil national parks in the UK. And dark skies is one of those qualities that's very much associated with tranquility. When people are describing what it is they enjoy about the national park, they've often quoted that sense of tranquility, the sense of openness, the large landscapes and the large skies that you can enjoy, both day and night. It wasn't really until 2009 with the International Year of Astronomy that it really sort of became a special quality that we really wanted to look after or conserve in some way. And the Galloway Forest Dark Sky Park really kind of set the ball rolling for us. We were very much inspired by the work that had been achieved up there to obviously try and target the issue of light pollution from street lighting and the creation of a dark sky park, a destination that is perfect for stargazers or for anyone that just really wants to enjoy, you know, a beautiful night sky. So that really sort of pricked up our interest. We were also aware that the Kielder Observatory and the people running the Kielder Observatory were quite keen to go for dark sky park status, which is a designation obviously created by the International Dark Sky Association. I thought actually it would probably be a good idea if we kind of joined forces. The National Park Authority being a planning authority adjacent to the Kielder Water and Forest Park area, you know, we could, through our role as a planning authority, help look at developing policies or putting in sort of planning controls that might reduce light pollution, certainly on new developments. And that, in effect, would benefit the Kielder Water Forest Park area, including the Kielder Observatory. I then realized that some of our own sites, some of our car parks that we have up on Hadrian's Wall, places like Caulfield's Picnic Site and Walltown Country Park, were being visited by local astronomical societies. The Newcastle Astronomical Society and the Borders Astronomical Society were two that were already bringing their members out to our sites. So I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. It makes a lot of sense, surely, if we can work collaboratively with the Kielder Water and Forest Park Development Trust and put in a joint application. Let's put a joint application in for both the National Park and Kielder and see if we could somehow secure some form of protected dark sky status for both areas, which we successfully did in 2013. So in 2013, after submitting many, many sky quality measurements, demonstrating how dark our skies were, providing evidence of the community engagement that we had secured and the support for the designation, as well as obviously putting in measures and policies to protect the night sky, we secured international dark sky designation in 2013, gold tier, making us one of the very best places to go and stargaze. And that collaboration, that group of individuals has continued, and we're still obviously looking after the Dark Sky Park and are keen to develop more opportunities for people to stargaze wherever possible.
Thank you for sharing your journey, Duncan. Have there been any measures implemented in Northumberland Dark Sky Park to reduce or limit light pollution?
Yes. One of the commitments that a National Park Authority has to make when applying for dark sky park status or dark sky reserve status is a commitment to use whatever powers it has to try and minimize light pollution. So as a planning authority, we have our own National Park Management Plan. We also have something called the local plan, which is the sort of main guidance that our planners abide and obviously align their planning decisions alongside. So the policies that we have in that local plan reinforce the fact that, you know, we are an international dark sky park, and wherever possible, we will make developers aware that they are developing in an international dark sky park, and to take the most appropriate action when it comes to installing outside lighting. And we normally invite the developer to a pre-application interview, normally with the planners, so that the developers have a very informal interview and an opportunity to ask more about the dark sky park. What does that actually mean? And we can obviously explain to them that it's about not necessarily having no lighting at all, because obviously people living in rural areas, and Northumberland is a very remote rural area, you know, people do want outside lighting for safe access or for a degree of sense of security as well. So it's about explaining to the developer that, you know, it's about putting in the right amount of outside lighting at the time that you need it, in a way that is not going to contribute to light pollution. So it's about encouraging them to use fully shielded or down lighting, preferably to any other kind of outside lighting. So the lighting is literally targeting the area that you want illuminated. It's about explaining to them that you don't need to overlight some of these areas, that you need to just provide the most appropriate amount of light that you require for safety and security. And ideally, that it's about ensuring that the lighting is not too harsh or too blue rich in terms of LED lighting in particular. You know, the preference now is for people to replace the old incandescent outside lighting with blue rich LED flood lighting. And we are saying, actually, you know, anything above 3000 Kelvin, you know, you're getting too much blue rich LED. And that is now, you know, more and more research is beginning to highlight the fact that, you know, wildlife, nocturnal wildlife in particular, and also for our own, you know, sense of health and well-being, you know, our sleeping patterns, our circadian rhythms are interrupted by too much blue rich LED lighting. So, you know, we say, well, look, if you are going to install outside lighting, install lighting that's less than 3000 Kelvin. It's a warm white LED, and that's far more preferable and less harmful for wildlife and for ourselves. And to be honest, all developers, I cannot think of one single incident where a developer has you know, refuted the evidence that we've provided or come back and argued to put in, you know, bad lighting. They have all accepted the advice, and all they have really asked for is, well, okay, well, you tell us what lighting is suitable and we'll install it. And that's what we tend to do. We tend to work with the developer, making sure that, you know, they have the lighting that they need for their development, but it's the right kind of lighting for the dark sky part. Where we do have problems at the moment, and it's a bit of a challenge for all protected landscapes, dark sky landscapes in particular, is the fact that we have very limited planning control over outside lighting that is retrofitted, i.e. development's already there in place and people then decide to add outside lighting. So we can't really use our planning powers to minimize additional lighting being added to existing buildings. What we tend to use more is our ability to, you know, communicate through events and activities and the advice that our rangers and our farm advisors give to local residents and to local businesses. We try to sort of, you know, sow the messages in through those channels of communication. And to do it in a friendly manner, this is not about lecturing people. This is about just making people aware that, you know, there is the right way to put in outside lighting to reduce light pollution, and just for them to follow that advice. And obviously, when we're running events, we do a lot of stargazing events ourselves. We always have a 5 or 10 minute section of the event where we talk about dark sky conservation. We talk about how special this special quality is. And, you know, by taking very simple steps about putting in the right kind of light in the right place at the right time, you know, everyone can actually make a positive contribution to our dark sky environment.
Can one see the Milky Way from Northumberland Dark Sky Park? And when can one see the Milky Way from Northumberland Dark Sky Park?
Well, the simple answer is yes. The best months for stargazing are normally between sort of September and March. And obviously, this is when, you know, the nights come in much earlier in the evening. You know, so from about sort of, you know, if you're in the middle of December, from about 3:30 onwards in the afternoon, you know, it's dark. And if there's no moon, then yes, you will certainly see the Milky Way from any part of the International Dark Sky Park. In fact, anywhere away from street lighting in Northumberland. Northumberland as a county in England has the most pristine dark skies of any county in England. I think it was calculated that 72% of the county has dark sky, pristine dark skies. And it's very noticeable, you know, when you're driving out from a very overlit area like Newcastle-upon-Tyne, which is the major city in the southeastern corner of the county. And then literally within half an hour's drive, you can be up onto Hadrian's Wall, or you can be up into the Simonside Hills near Rothbury, or you can, you know, drive further northwards and go into any of the valleys into the Cheviot Massif up in the north of the county. And you'll just be confronting pitch black skies. You know, within half an hour's drive out of Newcastle, you will find some of the darkest skies in England. And, you know, most people are blown away by that fact. You know, they get out of the car and they suddenly, as their eyes readjust and adapt to the darkness, and they just suddenly see the clarity on a clear night of more than, say, 2,000 to 3,000 stars above them. And the Milky Way, yes, I've seen the Milky Way very, very clearly, even from the middle of a town like Hexham, which has quite a bit of light pollution, to be honest. But even so, in the middle of Hexham, I can define the Milky Way on a clear night. Obviously, in the summer months, you know, we have, because of our northern latitude, we are obviously, it's probably you're not going to really see the Milky Way that clearly during the sort of summer months, because it's too light. But you come here in, you know, from sort of late August onwards, and then you'll certainly see the Milky Way on a clear night.
Are there any observatories in the region?
Yes, we're very fortunate. As I said, I've already mentioned one, which is probably the most well-known and long-established observatory here in Northumberland, which is the Kyoto Observatory. And the Kyoto Observatory is located on this wonderful hilltop location overlooking the Kyoto Reservoir, above the Kyoto Forest itself. You've got, you know, even during the daytime, it's a beautiful place to visit because you've got the most stunning views around you. But at night, it comes into its own because it really is in one of the darkest parts of Kyoto Forest. And, you know, it's an amazing facility to have. It's a public observatory. Obviously, they're doing a lot of work there to obviously carry out sort of research, but it's principally a public facility. It's a place that runs a comprehensive program of stargazing events throughout the year. I think last year they did over, well, obviously pre-COVID, in 2019, I think they were running 650 or so events a year from this one site. It has two very high quality telescopes that you can use, as well as a number of Dobsonian telescopes that they obviously bring out onto the viewing platforms. And they host a whole range of activities, whether it's for the, you know, the serious academic astrophysicist out there to, you know, the family with the young children who are just wanting to see, you know, Saturn for the first time through a telescope. And they do everything in between. So that is the biggest and most popular observatory. Then we have the Battlesteads Observatory. Now, this is located in the village of Wark, just on the edge of the Dark Sky Park. In fact, it's on the main road as you drive from Hexham up towards Kyoto. You drive through Wark. And this is located in the back garden of a very nice hotel called the Battlesteads Hotel. It's an award-winning hotel. It's one of the most sustainable, eco-friendly hotels that you'll find in the UK. And the proprietor, realizing that so many people were visiting his pub and restaurant on the way up to Kyoto Observatory, decided, actually, why don't I build an observatory in my own backyard? And he's working with a company called Astro Ventures, and they are now running their own stargazing program throughout the year. It's a very good telescope. It's got a nice warm room that's obviously, if the weather's not so good, you can retreat to. But the advantage is you've also got a pub and a very nice restaurant on the doorstep as well. So they're running a really good year-round program of events, as well as Kyoto Observatory. Then there's the Stonehof Community Observatory. This is a small observatory located in the village of Stonehof in the Kyoto Forest. It is literally an operation that has been driven by one individual, Liam Reed, and I must, you know, mention his name because he's not a trained astronomer at all. You know, he worked in a completely different sector for many years of his life, but was a passionate amateur astronomer. And he has been volunteering with the Kyoto Observatory. And in fact, now he's employed part-time at the Kyoto Observatory because he has acquired so much knowledge. But he wanted to do something in his own community of Stonehof. And he has physically built a small observatory and has got some equipment, and he's now running his own stargazing events at the Stonehof Observatory. And really, the best thing to do is just to Google Stonehof Enterprises. Stonehof is spelled Stonehaugh. And you'll be able to see what his Facebook page is promoting at this moment in time. And finally, there's a fourth observatory, which is now located on Hadrian's Wall at the Twice Brewed Inn, which is a pub that's been standing here for at least 200 or 300 years. It's located right next door to the Sill National Landscape Discovery Center, where I'm actually talking to you from today. And very recently, in the last 12 months or so, they too have built their own mini observatory in the back garden of the pub. So in the pub garden, you've got this lovely little observatory, and they've also bought some Dobsonian telescopes, and they're now running their own stargazing program. So if you Google twice brewed astronomy, then you'll be able to look at their website and see what events they are planning. I also know that they are all very keen to do a lot of online events as well. Obviously, during the pandemic, sadly, all of our events have gone online. But that has extended the reach. We have engaged a much broader audience and a wider audience, which has been fantastic. And I suppose it's not exactly an observatory, but the Seal National Landscape Discovery Center, which is owned and managed by the National Park Authority, is running its own stargazing program as well. And we have two sites. We have this site here, next door to the Twice Brewed Inn. And we also have a country park called Walltown Country Park, which is about 10 minutes drive further west from here. Both sites offer outstanding stargazing opportunities. And we're hoping to build on the two sites to basically put together a program of stargazing events in the next few years using both sites. One site perhaps being more suitable for sort of more deep field type observations because it's so much darker. But the Sill has the benefit maybe of a youth hostel, and obviously people possibly can stay overnight here as well if they want to do it. So I think Northumberland International Dark Sky Park has, you know, we're very fortunate. We have four observatories, plus we have the Sill National Landscape Discovery Center and many other sites where you can actually enjoy or participate in stargazing events.
Are there any planetariums in the region?
Again, yes, we are very fortunate in that, as I say, why I'm speaking to you from today at the Sill National Landscape Discovery Center, we are only 45 minutes drive from the center of Newcastle-upon-Tyne. And Newcastle-upon-Tyne is a fantastic city anyway, full of life and activity. But there are some wonderful museums there. The Great North Museum is one of the best. And within the Great North Museum, there is a planetarium, and it has regular shows when it's open on the dark skies and different themed, you know, space explorations as well. So yes, it's a really good planetarium, and we're looking forward to working with them perhaps more closely in the future. The second planetarium is located at the Center for Life, which also is located in the center of Newcastle, literally only about 100 meters from the Central Rail Station terminal there. And again, it has a selection of dark sky and space themed shows that it hosts throughout the year. So yes, having two planetariums within 45 minutes of a dark sky park is also very beneficial.
Are there any astronomy clubs in the region?
Again, yes, there are. And they're all very, very friendly indeed. And I would certainly recommend anyone perhaps contacting the clubs, because they're normally comprise lots of passionate, very knowledgeable individuals who love nothing more than sharing their knowledge and also sharing their knowledge of the equipment that they use or basically procure over their lifetime. And you know, if you're wanting some advice on what kind of telescope to buy or what kind of binoculars should I be investing in, then you know, the members of these societies are really the best people you can contact. The ones that we engage with here are the Newcastle Astronomical Society. And I know that details of that organization will be provided on this app. The Northumberland Astronomical Society, or NASTRO, as they're referred to, is also another very good group. And they do observations both here in the Dark Sky Park, but also along the coast as well. They have their own small mini observatory that their volunteers use on the Northumberland coast. And the Northumberland coast, although it's not in the Dark Sky Park, is a fantastic place to go and stargaze, especially if you're into auroras. You know, some of the very best images of auroras have been taken along the Northumberland coast, air of outstanding natural beauty. And then there's also the Borders Astronomy Society that is based in Carlisle to the west of the Dark Sky Park. And again, their members, they meet regularly in Carlisle. And slightly further afield to the northeast of us is the Sunderland Amateur Astronomy Society as well. And again, their members are very passionate and do a lot of events in and around Sunderland and Washington as well. And they have a small observatory there that they use. So yes, there are plenty of observatories and there are plenty of astronomy societies in the immediate area.
Are there opportunities for doing nightscape astrophotography in Northumberland Dark Sky Park?
Again, yes. As I say, all of the observatories, such as Kielder Observatory and, well, in fact, yes, all of them, they're all passionate astrophotographers at heart. And within their respective events programs, there will be events thus focusing on astrophotography and how to improve your techniques in taking the best photo that you can. And not just with, you know, very expensive DSLRs, for example, but, you know, using your iPhone. You know, we know that, you know, people love to capture the moment. And, you know, when we're doing stargazing events and we've got the Dobsonian telescopes out, if we've got a really lovely view of the planet in the eyepiece or the moon in the eyepiece, then, you know, people are lining up with their iPhones just to try and capture the image as well. So, yes, there are. There are events focusing on astrophotography, whether it's to capture, you know, stars and planets, or it's to capture the aurora as well. You know, when people hear that they can actually see the aurora on those rare occasions on Hadrian's Wall or whatever, they really do want to know, you know, how to capture it when the opportunity presents itself.
Is there a possibility to do nocturnal nature trails in Northumberland Dark Sky Park?
I think that's a very good question, because I think one of the things that we have learnt since acquiring the designation of International Dark Sky Park is that, you know, the focus may be or has been on stargazing, but, you know, people are fascinated in all aspects of, you know, the nighttime environment, really, and especially when they you know, hear about the impact, say, of light pollution on bats and moths and insects. They want to know more about those particular species. So I think what we're going to be doing in future, and we've done a little bit of it, is combining the opportunity to stargaze with maybe a bat walk, or you know, do some moth trapping, as well as, you know, doing some stargazing as well. So widening that interest around all things linked to the night, and I think we can go further. As I say, the opportunity for developing trails is something we could explore maybe at Walltown Country Park, but I think we'll probably try and widen the diversity of nighttime activities to include sort of nocturnal wildlife safaris, maybe even, you know, mountain biking at night type in trails, as well as the stargazing activities. And I think in terms of the events, when people are wanting to, you know, sit down and listen to someone talking about the nighttime environment, I think we might want to sort of weave in, you know, some of the sort of historical interpretation of the night sky as well. You know, I'm here located on Hadrian's Wall. It's a World Heritage Site. And, you know, I think we could do a lot more talks on, you know, what were the skies like at the time of the Romans here on Hadrian's Wall? You know, how did the Romans interpret the constellations, the gods that they worship, the gods like Mithras, for example, which is a sky god? You know, how did that influence their day-to-day lives? And I think those stories, in terms of how ancient civilizations and ancient cultures interpreted the night sky, are just as important and just as interesting to audiences today. So there's a lot more scope for us to widen what we define as the nighttime culture, I suppose. It's not just stargazing. It's about everything to experience, but within darkness, and I think that provides a lot of interesting possibilities for the future.
Are there any dark sky friendly B&Bs in Northumberland Dark Sky Park?
Yes, there are quite a few, actually. We developed a scheme which basically is right from the outset, when we secured the International Dark Sky designation, we worked with Northumberland Tourism, which is the destination management organization for Northumberland. And we realized that there was obviously an opportunity here for accommodation providers to tap into this zeitgeist that we had recognized, the fact that people might be wanting to visit Northumberland and obviously would like them to visit places like Keele Observatory and some of the other observatories, but they might just want to enjoy the opportunity to stargaze from the places that they were staying at. Certainly the sort of self-catering accommodation, the converted farms and the converted buildings into self-catering that provided also some outdoor space for them to sit and enjoy the night sky. Bed and breakfasts and hotels, again, but also expressing an interest in obviously marketing themselves as a business that facilitates stargazing opportunities. So we came up with a voluntary code, and it was a kind of a voluntary accreditation system called the Dark Sky Friendly and the Stay and Gaze accreditation. And very simply, accommodation providers and tourism businesses could download the application form to get the Dark Sky Friendly or the Stay and Gaze accreditation. And they had to then obviously demonstrate that they were installing, for example, Dark Sky Friendly lighting on their properties, or they had the ability to switch off their outside lighting for their guests to go stargazing without that light intrusion, that they were perhaps going the extra mile to provide some additional comfort for their guests. You know, not everyone sort of comes on holiday and is expects to go stargazing. Many people find out about stargazing when they're here, but they may not have, you know, gloves and hats and scarves and blankets perhaps to keep them warm to go out stargazing. So if the host has provided blankets and provided comfy chairs or deck chairs for them to sit out on, and even provided maybe some, you know, star charts so that their guests would know what they're looking at, or signpost them to apps like yours, for example, where, you know, they can actually find out and understand what they're looking at. You know, it's just providing those very simple services, very simple facilities that just makes it easier for you to enjoy the night sky at that particular hostelry. And if they successfully tick off all of this list of factors, then we hand them a Dark Sky Friendly logo or a Stay and Gaze logo. The difference between the Dark Sky Friendly and Stay and Gaze is the Dark Sky Friendly logo is basically, you know, can be applied to a bed and breakfast, and they can demonstrate that, yes, they are dark sky friendly. You can stargaze from there, but they don't host any events as such. A stay and gaze is normally given to a hotel or some kind of accommodation where they're actually hosting a stargazing event. Maybe they might invite an astronomer along for the weekend. One such hostelry is the Reedsdale Arms Hotel in Burness or near Rochester, and you know, there they invite an astronomer for the weekend, and you can stay for the whole weekend knowing that the astronomer is on hand to show you through telescopes the night sky, but also be on hand to answer all those questions that you might be wanting to ask. So these two accreditations have now been rolled out, and we have, I think, over 40 businesses, ranging from self-catering cottages through to hotels through to glamping pods and you know, even these shepherd's huts that have been converted. And we've got a wonderful range of accommodation here in Northumberland, and you can find this information either by visiting the Visit Northumberland website, and all of these businesses that have been identified are listed there. But I will also obviously provide the details of these businesses to you as well. So yes, there's plenty of accommodation, and accommodation that you can trust is doing the right thing in terms of looking after our night sky and providing you with all the comforts, hopefully to make your stay as enjoyable as possible.
Where can our listeners find more information about visiting Northumberland Dark Sky Park online?
Well, there are a couple of websites I would recommend that you visit. The first one is the main website for the official tourism website for Northumberland as a county, and that is visitnorthumberland.com. And there they have pages dedicated to the Northumberland International Dark Sky Park with links through to the Kyoto Observatory, through to Kyoto Water and Forest Park Development Trust, through to Northumberland National Park Authority and its website, and to other places that obviously are hosting dark sky activities. So that one is the one that you could go to, which then would spin you out to other sites. If you visit Northumberland National Parks website, we also have a range of web pages that are dedicated to the Dark Sky Park, giving you tips on what to take, places to go to within the Dark Sky Park, and any other advice that you might find useful. And then obviously Kyoto Observatory, and all the observatories have their own respective websites that I would recommend that you go to, especially if you're wanting to book a place on an event, then obviously their own websites are the best ones to make that happen. And as I say, you know, if you just you'll find that, you know, there's also a lot of useful information on the respective astronomy societies. NASTRO in particular has the Northumberland Astronomical Society has a really good website with lots of information as well. So you won't be short of information about where to go, what to see, and when to see it when you come to Northumberland International Dark Sky Park. And we certainly look forward to seeing you out here in the years to come.
Thank you, Duncan, for this valuable information. Friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode and found it useful. Northumberland Dark Sky Park is an attractive destination for stargazing and nightscape astrophotography. You'll find useful links in the show notes. If you liked this episode, please consider buying me a coffee. You can find a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page at the bottom of the show notes.